Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Welcome to FST, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, on this Thursday, January 17th. Close enough. I got so excited I said the 20th because the games are on the 20th. But it doesn't matter. We're getting there. MLK weekend coming up. Got a day off after the conference championship games. Sort of a day off. I don't have to do
maybe
a lot
you
of
do.
Work.
I will be on air at 7 a.m. the following day.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. Maybe I'll join you. I don't know what's going on with me. So, you know, kids are off. I got to take a day off, hang out with the kids. So, but I am excited about the game. Obviously, everybody's getting juiced up. What's the Super Bowl going to look like? The lines have stayed pretty much steady, Dane, throughout the week. So we haven't seen any major pushing of the lines. I don't think either line is going to get too far out of whack, maybe a half a point either way from here on out. I don't see any major line movement. Do you?
I do not, although what I will say that I have found interesting in terms of any movement is I saw the AFC game open at 56. I saw it down to 54.5 yesterday, and now I see it back up to 56. I don't think the spreads are going to move, but the totals may, especially with the weather reports in Kansas City, that may do something. You know, if there's really a storm or it's really 10 degrees out, something like that, I could see movement in the totals.
It's going to be nasty here in New York, so I don't know if we're getting the same weather.
Yeah, I know. I got to get into the studio with you on Sunday morning.
You and me both, buddy.
I don't know how that's going to happen.
On Thanksgiving Day, we had an unusually cold Thanksgiving Day, and it created all kinds of problems in my commute, and I was late for the show, which doesn't really ever happened, but
oh, that's awesome.
We had, I missed the first, I think I missed the first hour of the show. Jim Day and Scott, they had to get Scott Engel out of bed, and Jim Day and Scott did the first hour. So kudos to them, Scott, coming in off the bench on that day, and it was brutally cold.
I'm
so
looking forward to it Sunday, regardless, though.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be me, you, Keith Irizarry, and Joe Ranieri. So a couple of new additions to the network. So we're looking forward to that. Joe will be Skyping in from lovely Florida and laughing at us as we commute in.
I know,
with the brutal winter storm watch, and even if there's not a crazy amount of snow or rain, it's supposed to be like 9 degrees or something like that. So anyway. The weather is part of the storyline in New England and Kansas City, but as Dane said, so that over has fluctuated a little bit. I think if it moves, it'll move down a little bit, but I don't think it'll move below like 54.5, just like where you said it got to before. Maybe people start banging the under, but I don't think it's going to get crazy low. I don't see any major line movement out of this. Look, these teams are all pretty evenly matched. The Saints beat the Rams in a tight game a couple of months back. And the Patriots did the same to the Chiefs a couple of months back. The only difference this time is that the Pats are on the road, whereas the matchup is the same with New Orleans and L.A.
Yeah, I agree. Like, these teams, you know, these four teams are all studs. You know what I'm saying? And there were three games this year where these combinations of these four teams played each other. And you know them all. You know what I mean? Like, when the Chiefs played the Pats, it was a Sunday night game, 44-40. I mean, come on. You know, when, like, the Rams played the Saints, it was a huge game. I remember because I was at the sports book in Atlantic City, and the Saints had a huge comeback. Exactly. And then we all know what happened when the Rams and Chiefs played, right? It was that, like, 54-51 game. So when these games get together, and I would say, if the Saints and Pats were on the schedule this year at all, I would have guessed, I would have taken the over on 65, you know, in the same kind of way. So I think That's the way it's going to go down. I am very excited for this. It's going to be very hard, though, Blewett, for me to pick a DFS defense this week.
It certainly will be. But we did see, I believe, when the Chiefs played the Rams, the Chiefs ended up, oh, man, was it the Chiefs?
There
were
defensive touchdowns in that game, though. I think it was the Rams. Because they had a defensive touchdown.
I think the Rams ended up with a 20-plus point fantasy day that day.
Yes,
because of the defensive touchdowns. And it won't at all surprise me if that plays a factor in this game as well. I have said the one major thing that I'm looking at that concerns me about the Saints is the loss of Sheldon Rankins with the manner in which the Rams have been running the ball, and now them losing a key defensive tackle. I think it's a huge blow. I don't think there's any, as I've heard Herm Edwards say before, this is a copycat league. And there aren't a lot of secrets. There's a couple of mantras that he used to throw out there. So I don't think it's a secret. They're going to try to run the ball there in the throat like they did to Dallas. And it's made a little bit easier by that injury.
No, absolutely. And especially, like, enter C.J. Anderson. You know what I mean? Like, who all of a sudden, wearing number 35. I maybe said this to you previously, but I was watching the games last weekend with a guy, one of my friends who's, like, knowledgeable of football, but not like us, you know, more of a casual fan. Yes. And he saw C.J. Anderson wearing number 35. He said, when did C.J. Anderson turn into Mike Tolbert?
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. That's how
and I thought that
Tolbert
was
comparison.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was making the
you know,
Tolbert
I thought
comparison
that was interesting. And listen, without Rankins there, I think we're going to see a lot of CJ north-south.
But realistically, when do they make the decision to go back to Gurley? Like, Anderson can't out-carry Gurley 2-1 for the remainder of the playoffs.
Fair.
It doesn't really make sense. I think McVay knew he had it all over the Cowboys and knew that he could utilize Gurley in a limited fashion and still win the game. It seems to me like that. I mean, after the game was over, I was like, man, you would have to know that you're going to run over these guys, or rather that you're having early success and you know it's going to keep working in order to stick with
hot
that.
Hot hand kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, but who would ever use a hot hand approach to not favor Todd Gurley unless you knew you had it going on?
Yeah, I guess going into the game, though, McVay said that the way C.J. Anderson performed, he had earned carries. You know, I still think it's going to happen.
Carries,
I think
yes.
C.J. Anderson
out 2-1 over Gurley. No,
right. I still think it's going to be. I think it's going to be 2-1 the other way. Right. I think C.J. Anderson has earned like every third drive.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, you know? I think he's a great asset so that Gurley isn't getting overworked in the manner that he had been earlier in the season. And it didn't lead to an injury, but, you know, I'm saying 2-1. It's a bit of an exaggeration. It's 23-18 as far as touches were concerned. But he did have 23 carries to 16 carries. So we should at least flip-flop that going into this game. So a couple of numbers. With victories by the Rams and Chiefs on Sunday, this Super Bowl would feature the two highest-scoring teams from the regular season for the fifth time since 1970 and the first time since 1997. So it's been a long time since the two highest-scoring teams have met. That was the Broncos and Packers back then. The year before, Packers.
Was that the year Elway helicoptered?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And they let Terrell Davis in the end zone at the very end so they could try and have the drive back?
The Elway helicopter.
That was
I'm
against
blanking.
The Packers, right?
I'm not sure if it was the Packers or the Falcons. I'm blanking on it, actually. I remember the play completely.
Fair enough.
But Broncos-Packers, the year before was Packers-Pats. I was living in Boston for both of those two, so I remember that one well. Washington,
Desmond Howard, punt return, right?
Correct, sir. He won the MVP. Okay. Washington versus Buffalo. That was when Thurman Thomas forgot his helmet and Mark Rippon won the MVP. And then Miami versus San Francisco all the way back in 1984, the Montana-Marino matchup. So
that was the Marino crazy year.
So the reality is we're going to have high-scoring teams in the Super Bowl regardless, but will it be those top two, Rams-Chiefs? I'm starting to get the inkling from people that I think a lot of people are going to pick that, mainly because they want the Pats to lose, and they're concerned about the Saints a little bit because the Saints didn't play their sharpest game on Sunday.
My early lean is Saints Chiefs. I think the home teams win. I just think the home teams win.
It's look, it's fair. These games are so close. I can't argue with anybody's pick.
That's the thing. If any of the four possible combinations, like I'm not going to be like, oh, that's crazy, you know, and look to build an argument against it.
Right.
Like, I honestly believe any of the four combinations is possible. It's going to be my poll question on freestyle tonight, and I really am interested to see if there's, like, one runaway winner.
Yeah. Like, Pat's Rams would be the opposite of what you picked, and that's not crazy at all. Because the Rams played a better game over this past weekend than the Saints did, and the Pats played better as well as anybody over the whole weekend, last weekend. Chiefs obviously played great too, but you know, you got Belichick and Brady. You're not going to bet against those guys with three. I'm going to take those points probably.
Check this out. I'm on FanDuel.
Yeah.
I'm on FanDuel right now, and you could right now pick any Super Bowl matchup, right? And any, you know, so the favorite right now is +360, and it is the Saints to beat the Chiefs. Okay, they actually have eight here because of all the permutations and then also picking the champion. The, you know, it's so weird. The Saints over the Chiefs is the favorite at +360. The Chiefs over the Rams is the biggest long shot at +640. But like Chiefs over Rams, if you told me that that's what happens if we go in the hot tub time machine, like, okay, like that's very possible. The Chiefs to beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, you know, so like any permutation here is valid, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you can put – it's pretty crazy right now if you're just throwing a little bit of money down. I should have done this. I talked about it on air. I should have put money down on the Pats. They were +500 before the game on Sunday to win the Super Bowl. Right now, you can still get the Pats and the Rams at +350 and the Chiefs at +250.
You're on FanDuel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's so interesting? I looked at the same thing over at MyBookie, and everything is depressed. You know, like you just said, like the Chiefs are +250, let's say, and the Pats and the Rams are +350. Over on MyBookie, it's much different. Everything is depressed. So the Chiefs are like +175.
That makes more sense.
And the Pats and the Rams are like +250. You know, so but make your futures bet on FanDuel right now.
Absolutely.
They're all higher numbers. You got to shop around. You got to shop your books.
Like, you know, if you're putting down, I mean, think about it. You're putting down $50 on the Pats and $50 on the Saints. You got a 50% chance to win.
Right.
You're going to clear money either way. If one of those
your outlay would be
hit.
$100, and you're going to win $350 if one of them hits, right? So you're investing $100 to potentially win $350, and then you got shares, and you have shares of the Pats and the Rams.
And by the way,
like,
if
cool.
I can tell you right now, you can win money if you put $50 on the Chiefs and $50 on the Pats. Think about that.
Right. You're just saying you're going to have the AFC representative.
You're
basically taking the AFC in the Super Bowl.
That's right. I'm going to lay out $100, and my shortest. My shortest win there, let me just do the math.
The Chiefs, it'd be right?
$25. So think about
that.
I put down $100, but I have 50 on the Chiefs and 50 on the Pats. If the Chiefs win, I win $125. So I'm automatically clearing money. I'm just trying to do the simplest math possible.
Not here.
Now, conversely,
nice round numbers.
Yeah, like conversely, if I did it on the NFC, I got $50 on the Saints. So that's going to be.
But then you're hoping the Saints don't win the Super Bowl, almost, right? You need the Rams, kind of, if you're doing it that way.
Yeah, but still, let's do the math. 50 on the Rams, 50 on the Saints. Obviously, if the Rams win, I'm going to get $175 on my $100 bet. If the Saints win, that ends up being, let's do the math real quick. Is that 90? Basically, $90. I'd lose $12 or something like that.
Maybe there's a way to do it, like you said. I don't know if that's the way I would do it, but in this model, right? Let's say you bet both AFC teams, you cover the AFC, right? Then
that's
if
but,
you really like.
But
the
my
other
point
team,
is that
you
have
hedge.
To do the AFC doing it my way. You're not guaranteed
right,
to win
right,
money
because of the math, right?
Yeah.
It's not an automatic win with the NFC because the Saints are the shorter price, right? If you do it with the NFC and then the Saints win. You come out behind. Because both the Chiefs and the Pats are, in essence, above +200, it does mathematically work.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. You know? And if you have leverage, meaning extra cash, you can put a lot of money on these, on these two AFC games. Right. You can do that, too.
Right.
That's right.
You bet the Chiefs and the Pats, and then if you really like the Saints or whatever, then you throw whatever the money is. You do the math. You throw Saints money line, on the game.
Absolutely.
That's all.
Yeah. So
There's ways to do that. Sure.
Yeah, a lot of creative things to do. I'm just giving you a sense that the AFC right now is your best futures odds right now. But so back to the games. There's no secret in how good these offenses are. I think storylines tend to be kind of boring. People are trying to bang on, well, the Pats are underdogs, and they're asking Tom Brady about it. Like
Edelman selling T-shirts.
Yeah, so it's just the funniest thing with the Patriots because
it's ridiculous.
I've said this to you before. Like, they always play the underdog card when everybody thinks they're going to win. And Nick Saban does this as well. There's no secret that Belichick and Saban are very good friends. Yeah. And I've heard many times from Patriots players and Alabama players over the years, like, nobody believed in us, and everybody was doubting us. It's like, no, they're not. They're not doubting you.
Right.
You were favored against the Chargers, and you blew them out. Everybody thinks Tom Brady's great. Everybody thinks Belichick is great. Gronk has lost a step. I don't think that's a secret to anybody. But I'm going to pick them to win, too. So I'm not doubting them at all. I'm telling you, for weeks now, the best money that you can spend is a Patriots futures odd at futures odds to win the Super Bowl. And I don't want them to win. I want to see something different.
Right.
I want to see the Chiefs play whomever. It would be interesting. More interesting.
I hear you. You're a Steelers fan, Blewett. I'm a Jets fan. You know, like, we would like nothing better than the dynasty to end. But here's the thing. Like, oh, we're underdogs. Oh, bet against us. Oh, whatever. I don't understand. Last time I checked, correct me if I'm wrong, Blewett, but isn't this their eighth straight AFC championship game?
Yeah. Tom Brady's been to 13. Like, this is their eighth straight AFC championship game. Nobody's picking against you. I mean, there's some people picking against
you. Really? That's what I'm saying.
But, like on from a macro standpoint, everybody concedes that you're great.
They're manufacturing bullet board material, and I think it's hysterical.
And I know you're saying, like, I'm a Steelers fan and everything. I can't even I am tired of it, but I can't even hate them anymore in some respects. Like, somebody's got to beat them.
It's like on some level.
Well, like, what is everybody crying about?
Like, I'm a Knicks fan, but I respected Michael Jordan.
Like, I'm a Steelers fan. Everybody says, Steelers, you can't complain because, they have a lot of success. I don't know. They went to the Super Bowl 8 years ago and lost,
right?
And they've been to one AFC championship game since. Tom Brady, by the way, has been to all of them since. All of them. Crazy.
Literally all of them.
All of them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's so just, it's obvious and transparent that they're trying to manufacture this kind of underdog nature. Like, they are not the underdog.
Well, the bummer is that they're
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
The bummer is that Vegas actually made them the underdog, so they get to say it truthfully this time. So, all right, we'll come back and talk more about this game. I think I'm done talking about Antonio Brown, so I just don't want to do it. I can't do it, Dane. We'll come back and talk about these games.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hi, I'm Keith Urban. I believe every child is entitled to a complete and inspiring education. Music education programs in our schools help kids learn, socialize, gain confidence, and stay in school. But they need your help to survive. Mr. Holland's Opus Foundation gives school music programs the instruments they need to make this opportunity available to every student who wants to play. With your help, we can keep music alive in our schools and give all kids the education they deserve.
Visit mhopus.org now to find out how you can help.
Maurice Allen, 2015-2016 European Long Drive Tour Champion, 2017 World Number One. Me personally, I keep my game face on me all the time. Especially coming out of the bunker, leaving the range, or even leaving the course. What's your story?
Go to GameFaceGrooming.com for all your athletic facial wipes and body cleansing needs.
Fantasy.
The Super Wolf Blood Moon, which will be shining its brightest at 11:12 p.m. Sunday night, which is kind of like an hour or hour and a half after the game is supposed to end. Is there something mystical at play here, Jim? Because we need all we can get, and we, as in like anti-Patriots nation.
Back in the old days, this is where gods came from. Not really a lot of mystical stuff to it, but, you know, the Chiefs will grab at any straw they can to beat Brady and the Patriots.
Weekdays, noon Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Rocking out on a FSU Thursday. Are you at the game or just got a gut feeling? No problem. Now you can bet from anywhere, anytime with the all-new MyBookie mobile betting platform. With the MyBookie mobile platform, you'll enjoy the safety and convenience of at-home betting when you're on the go. So try it out today and you'll never miss another winning bet. Head on over to MyBookie.ag and open an account with the promo code FNTSY, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. Yeah, that's right, $1,000. So that's MyBookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So I know, Dane, you were checking out some odds on there earlier. We'll take a look at some player props and stuff, too, because that's interesting. I know I said I wasn't going to do it.
I got one for you,
bro. I know. I know I said I wasn't going to do it, but I just have to mention.
Oh, you're
going to
talk AB, though.
I just have to mention that he can't stop himself. He can't prevent himself from firing off tweets and just making fun of people. And just the drama is so omnipresent in the guy's life that it's obvious why this stuff always continues to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. But here's what I would say. Was not Odell Beckham in the same situation last year?
But was he firing off tweets at like ex-teammates and talking about the Giants on Twitter and making fun of Bruce Arians' hat? Like, Bruce Arians was actually very complimentary of him. But AB reads the headline from God knows what website and says, Arians looks like an idiot with the Kangol and whatever. So
yeah, you know, and I see
he was
like,
very complimentary of him.
Different about me. You're right. I mean, he's certainly scorching earth, right? There are bridges on fire right now. Yeah. I'll accept that. But I also think that, you know, time is a beautiful thing to get perspective. And I wonder what the tweets and I wonder what the conversations will be like, you know, 3 days before the new league year in early March.
Yeah.
And they might be different. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, I saw the odds on all that. I literally, on freestyle, I told people, you know where I'm putting my money, if any, on, like, the first eight teams? I was like, I'm putting my money on the damn Pittsburgh Steelers at plus 950 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's where I was.
Because, you know, everybody thinks it's a fait accompli, but narratives change in 2 months.
It's funny. Like, I looked at the Niners thing. I think I was texting with Frank Stampfl, like, right when all this stuff was going down. And they were the team that I thought might look good. I was just looking at cap space and needs and all that kind of stuff. Because Marquise Goodwin isn't a one. Pierre Garçon is likely to be cut. I think he holds a $5 or $6 million cap number. And he hasn't been healthy for 2 years. And he's in his 30s. And I just think he might be at the end of a road. Like, after a neck surgery, I'm usually going to fade players, which surprised me that the Jets gave Quincy and Nunwa an extension in the manner that they did, but it was a cheap extension, so they'll see what they can get out of him. So,
what do you think about him going back and forth with Manny Sanders?
That makes sense to me.
He was like an analyst and
yeah, that makes sense to me that AB would do that because it's AB. Like, it's just who he is. And Sanders,
you're a Steelers fan.
Sanders fired on him a little bit.
You're a Steelers fan like 4 years ago and now.
Yeah.
Did you pay the wrong guy? Should you have given Manny Sanders the long-term extension?
I don't think so.
Of
AB? I don't think you could argue that AB is that Sanders is better than AB. I don't think the only thing you can't complain about with Antonio Brown is the production. It's insane. I mean, if he had just played in that last freaking game, he would have had another 100 catch, 1,300 yard season. He would have been the fifth time.
Yeah, well, he should show up to meetings then.
Yeah, or practices, or call the coach, or any of those things. It would be nice.
Not throwing the ball at the franchise quarterback.
Yeah, that would help
whatever
too.
Whatever it was.
So, look, there's not a lot of not a lot of angels in that locker room. But
fair. Well, there's Villanueva, right?
Well, let me say, of the skilled players, there's not a lot of angels in there. I feel bad because then that lumps in James Conner, and he's like salt of the earth guy.
We don't know anything about James Washington yet, you know,
true.
But whatever.
Yeah.
I sort of think Vance McDonald is a good human being, but I digress.
Juju seems like a legit guy. Anyway.
He's above board, sure.
With victories by the number one seeded Kansas City Chiefs and number one seeded New Orleans Saints on Sunday. It would mark the 14th time since the NFL began seeding teams in 1975 that both top seeds faced off in the Super Bowl. And the fifth time in the past six seasons. That's the crazy part about it. It's happened a lot recently. So it would mark the fifth time with wins on Sunday, but both the Chiefs and Saints. It would mark the fifth time since 75 that consecutive seasons have featured a Super Bowl matchup of the number one seed. So we've seen a whole bunch recently in 2013 to 2015. It was all number one seeds.
Wait, the Eagles were the one seed last year?
Yeah, they went 13-3 last year. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, remember they got the Falcons at home.
Yeah, you're right.
Then they beat Minnesota, and then they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So that's it. They had the bye, and then they hosted those two games. So with a win, the Kansas City Chiefs can become the sixth consecutive number one seed to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, surpassing the five consecutive Super Bowls featuring the AFC's number one seed from 87 to 91 for the longest streak by the conference since 1975. So that's pretty crazy. It not only has it been a trend, but in the AFC, it's been a lock. So good stuff there. Pat Mahomes passed for 278. In his postseason debut last week, and ranked second in passing yards during the regular season. So with the Chiefs' victory against New England, Mahomes would become the fourth quarterback to pass for at least 5,000 yards and reach the Super Bowl in the same season. Can you name those other players, Dane Martinez?
How many others are there?
There are three others.
Who passed for 5,000 and went to the Super Bowl in
correct.
That season?
Correct. Yes.
Drew Brees.
No.
What?
No.
Okay, Peyton Manning.
That's right, 2013, 5,477 passing yards, still the record, and they made the Super Bowl, and they got crushed.
I have two
Seahawks.
Other guesses.
43-8.
I have two other guesses. My two guesses, I'm deciding between Kurt Warner or Ben Roethlisberger.
Neither of them
I'm
are correct.
Kurt neither. Okay, well, then I'm not going to go with
that. Two more. Tom Brady. In 2011, why would you not guess Tom Brady?
I guess that's the Randy Moss like 25.
No,
season.
No,
yeah.
It was the 2011 season. So that's when they lost to the G-Men. Moss
the
was
Giants
already
in week
gone.
17.
Yeah,
no, that was the Moss year.
No, Moss was the 2007 season when Brady threw for 50 touchdowns. He was already gone by 2011. The 2011 season, I think that was a monster Gronk season. No,
right.
2007 is the undefeated season.
Oh, my bad.
He threw for 50 touchdowns. They lost to the Giants after the close Week 17 game. Then they lost to the Giants. Catch 42, Tyree, Plaxico Burress, all that kind of stuff. 2011, he had a monster season. That was Gronk and Welker, and I am struggling with maybe who the other receivers are. But he had a monster year that year. And the other one was, of course, Dan Marino in 1984. 5,000 yards, and they lost to the Niners. They got beat up by the Niners in that Super Bowl. So
the Marx brothers, yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So there you go. So
not that great for me. I only got one of them.
Last stat, and I'll ease up on it, at least for this segment. If New Orleans Brees, a New Orleans quarterback, Drew Brees, passed for 301 yards with two touchdowns in the Saints' divisional playoffs win against Philly, with 300 passing yards this Sunday, he would tie Peyton Manning for nine games, which is the second most playoff games with at least 300 passing yards. There's one player that has more than them. Who is that player?
More than 300 passing yard playoff games?
Yes. This should be very easy.
Oh, thanks.
Just say thanks. The guy I mean, that I said you have to say every time when you're guessing these. He's got like Jeter-esque records because he's played in so many playoff games.
Got to be Tom Brady.
That's right. He's got 15.
Okay. Well, all right.
Not even close. Nobody's going to ever come close because if he gets just a couple more, 17, who's going to do that? Nobody.
Patty Mahomes in his career, maybe.
Well, if Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid get on a Belichickian Brady kind of run, then color me surprised, because that would be incredible. Just what they've done is just really unique, and I hope Pat Mahomes has great success, but he ain't doing that. Although
they don't have to win playoff games for him to throw for 300, though.
Yeah, I guess if he plays for 15 years, everybody throws for 300 yards now, right? Especially Pat Mahomes. Yeah. So, all right, so there you go. That's some key stats there. Let's look at some player props. You want to do that?
I do. I have one for you.
All right, give it to me.
You know how, Blewett, how we went in together on a fantasy team this year?
Oh, we did.
And, you know, we had a great early season. We faded a little bit with injuries down the playoffs.
We had a horrendous playoff output, by the way.
We really did.
Like, when you look back, and not only did it – so we lost our last three games. We did.
We got eviscerated by injury.
But
as soon as the roster's locked and we couldn't do anything about it, we were screwed.
But, like, in a league where there was, like, 150 points or so was a good score, we scored 85 points in our playoff matchup, and the other team didn't even get to 100. So – we lost in pretty embarrassing fashion. Anyway.
Spectacular fashion.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm trying to say here, Blue, we've gone in together with relative success. We got a buy and stuff like that, at least. I want to go in with you on a prop bet.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to try and talk you through this and why this is crazy.
Tell me which game.
But it's not. We're talking Pat's Chiefs here.
Okay. Let me get to it.
And if you look at the specials, there is a prop bet of will any player score two touchdowns, multiple touchdowns, okay? And so I understand that that's a stretch already, okay? Sony Michel's at plus 480. Edelman's at plus 800. Kelsey's at plus 550, okay? These are hundreds, right? Plus 500, plus 600. It's really hard to score two touchdowns, okay? I'm shooting the moon here, though, Blewett. I'm not talking about plus 550 or plus 600. There is a player that is plus 10,000, Blewett, that I think is viable. I want you to go in on it with me. Are you ready for this? A player to score two touchdowns. I know it's crazy.
Give me a second. Let me guess.
You want to get there? All right.
Yeah. I'm
looking. To score two touchdowns. Are you there?
I'm debate. It's definitely one of the Pats, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right. I've got it down to three guys who it could be.
Come on, you know who it is. You know who it is. I've been riding the stereotype Sony Michel all year.
Oh, wait, where is he?
And there have been times.
Wait, Sony
Michel. No, Sony Michel.
Yeah, yeah.
Sony Michel is plus 480. He's a favorite.
Yeah.
I'm trying to set you up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sony Michel, he was on my fantasy team, blah, blah, blah.
James Devlin.
Who vultures one-yard touchdowns from Sony Michel?
James Devlin or Tom Brady. I can't decide which. I don't know if you want two Tom Brady sneaks or two James Devlin one-yard touchdowns.
No, I want James Devlin.
Yeah, you do.
Plus 10,000.
50 bucks.
You've seen crazier things. That's
25 bucks each.
Yeah.
That's a sandwich in Manhattan.
Are you with me?
Yeah, why not? Mike Vrabel scored a whole bunch of touchdowns. Got to be James Devlin.
We have seen. There are games this year, Blewett, where Devlin has two touchdowns.
Kind
of
like it.
If we played this prop every week of the season, we'd be up $9,000, Blewett.
So I'm not going to talk you out of it because it's obviously a ridiculous long shot, and we know that. However, the return of
Rex. No, I know it's a ridiculous long shot.
The return
of
Rex
Burkhead. But you're not going to find a better +10,000 out there.
The return of Rex Burkhead does hurt us. You know what I mean?
Sure. It's +10,000 for a reason. I don't think this is actually going to happen, but this is as good of a lotto ticket as any.
So we put down 25 bucks each. We got 50 bucks.
Yeah.
It's effectively plus 5,000, right?
It's 5,000, right. 50 turns into 5,050, yes.
Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy.
we could double up and do Tom Brady
and hope for a couple of one-yard sneaks, too.
And you know what will happen is Devlin will score one touchdown
and Brady
will score one touchdown.
Right. Well, that's why
but
I'm
just saying,
that's
look at the other, like, 10,000 people. You know, like, look at – I mean, just talk about James Devlin versus – like Dwayne Allen or Sharkhandrick West.
No, no.
Or, you know, one of these defenses. Like, I've seen crazier things happen. We've seen it this year. There are games where Devlin has two touchdowns this year. And if it's going to be 20 degrees outside, you know, and stuff like that, I know it's plus 10,000, but, hey, you want to take a swing with me?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. 25 bucks each.
All right, I'm in.
Okay.
I'm in.
We're in. All right, we're in.
I can't bet it because I'm not in the state of New Jersey, but we got to find a way to get this down.
We'll figure it out.
We got to. I'm with
Jim
you.
Day lives in New Jersey. I make a little call. He's a proxy. We get it done.
So we got to make that happen. Yeah. Right. Plus 10,000. James Devlin, 2 touchdowns.
Amazing.
Let's go.
I like this. I like this theme. Let's look at some other stuff here. All right, what other one of this group do you like if we're not going long shot, though?
And the 2 touchdowns prop?
Yeah,
or do you want to go to a different
no,
kind
no,
of
that
prop?
One's fine. We'll stay there. Damian Williams? Plus 480?
No, I'll swing for the fences again and go with one of these defenses. The New England defense and special teams. I get the Cordarrelle Patterson kickoff return, and then I get if Patty Mahomes' crazy gunslinger play, if those coin flips ever come up tails, you know, or he gets the fumble. Like the Rams scored a defensive two defensive touchdowns against him, I believe.
Yeah.
So give me Cordarrelle Patterson kickoff return and a possibility of a sack, fumble, scoop, and score, pick six. I would take the Pats defense and special teams.
Kind of like
as
it.
My second choice in this one.
Kind of like it. Do you like any 10, of these with lower odds?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sony Michel scored 3 touchdowns last week. You know, that sort of thing. This could be, you know, this could be Rob Gronkowski's last NFL game. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to give him. And there was something
well,
like
not
Scott
be hoping
was saying last
is.
Hour.
They're not going to feed him the ball because it might be his last
game. They hope they're playing in 2 weeks, right? Yeah. They hope they're playing in 2 weeks.
I've got to get Gronk a couple of touchdowns because we're out of here. No, it'll only happen.
My other, you know, the other more legitimate, if it's the, you know, the shorter odds, I would go Kelsey or Hill.
What are the first touchdown odds for James Devlin? Because maybe we pair that.
There we go. Now you're into my mind.
Plus 6,500. For the first touchdown to be scored by James Devlin.
For the first
Devlin.
Touchdown, yeah, I see that.
If see we go that. All in on James Devlin, then we obviously have issues.
You want to stack James Devlin?
We obviously
first
have
touchdown
issues.
And
but
two touchdowns.
If you're going to do it, just do it all the way. Maybe we're in on the James Devlin first touchdown of the game. But that's hard.
Listen,
this is the first touchdown of the whole game.
Listen, I want shares of James Devlin, I think, right. In this kind of game. I just think the gap of Devlin to, like, the other players – represents value in the same way as when you see someone on DFS and they're just too low. The odds are just too high on this one.
Okay.
Like he shouldn't be 2,000, you know, 8,000 more than, you know, someone like a Kelsey, for example.
Okay, so we're going to the other game now on this to score 2+ touchdowns. Long odds. Ugh, these are gross.
Well, they should be. I mean, that's the thing. That's why Devlin's the outlier. You're going.
I mean,
you're at 2+ touchdowns. Is that where you are?
Yeah.
The
Rams D is +10,000.
You're looking at the long shots. You're not looking at anything.
I'm starting
running.
With the long shots, and then I'll drop down.
All right.
Taysom Hill is +9,000, but he hasn't really scored
that's
touchdowns.
That's an interesting one.
Drew Brees,
I
you
wonder
could go
if
with
Taysom,
the two
Taysom Hill,
QB sneaks.
They have to assume that it's not a passing touchdown, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
That's right. Scoring
Brees does those
different.
one-yard
That's
sneaks,
right.
too. He jumps, he dives and puts the ball over.
That's right.
Drew Brees at 10,000.
All right. Jared Goff.
That would be my one. Two quarterback sneaks from Drew Brees.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, we'll come back. We'll keep talking more prop bets. After this, it's Mike and Dane on FST. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
The morning after.
Normally, it's like Barack would come out, take a picture with the Warriors, a couple of jokes. They didn't hang out all day. Donald Trump even went further. He went the extra mile. He was just trying to hook him up and be a gracious host.
Yeah, stop it, Gabe.
The feeding thing was a prop so he can talk about, oh, this person not doing this, so I had to pay for this. Dabo Sweeney is the problem here. They should have turned the invitation down.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Little chili peppers to get you going on this football Thursday. And what's also going to get you going is Daily Roto. It's called a smooth radio transition right there, Dane. DailyRoto.com partnership with Data Golf is back for 2019 with all new premium fantasy golf and betting tools. Check out the all new lineup optimizer with custom settings and advanced grouping, customizable projections for FanDuel and DraftKings, ownership projections, PGA finish probabilities, and simulator, outright and top 20 market betting tools, head-to-head and three-ball betting tools, PGA Pro Tips, subscriber chat, and more. So go to DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, choose Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. That's DailyRoto.com, click on Go Premium, click on Golf, and enter promo code GOLF19 for a 10% discount. So good stuff there. And I think we have a caller. We got Kenny from Philly, a longtime and loyal listener. What's up, Kenny? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, first and foremost, guys, y'all doing a great job, and Happy New Year. How you guys doing?
Likewise, and thank
so
you very much.
Happy New Year to you, brother, man, for sure.
So your Saints are still rolling along. How you feeling about it? Why can't Drew Brees hit a long throw? Tell me that.
I have no idea, and Ted Ginn was, like, wide open on that throw.
I know.
He's old, and he's tired. That's why. I love Drew Brees.
Teddy Ginn. And Drew Brees threw him first play of the game, man.
Yeah, there may be something to that. I think to be honest, that they pretty much most of the starters had at least 2.5 weeks off. I mean, Michael Thomas played week 17 and all, but
barely.
I think we were rusty and you know, luckily we got out there with the win. I'm just happy about that. I am a little bit nervous with the emergence of C.J. Anderson, and
Rankins.
No Rankins. I mean, and then we got Andrews Pete, who I tweeted at, and I was trolling after the game for those four penalties, but come to find out he had an injury. But I don't want to hear all that, to be honest. But on to the Patriots. I love how people say that the key to beating Brady is getting pressure. Yes, getting pressure up the middle, not I'm around the edges, because as Brady, as Brees does,
they step up
in the pocket.
Kenny, you're absolutely right. And the key is pressure without blitzing. That is it. You're right. It can come around the edges, but you can't blitz him to do it. Yes, he will step up in the pocket, but a guy like Von Miller, when he's rushing on every play, isn't blitzing. He's an edge rusher, and he can get pressure. But, yes, guys like Chris Jones and Dee Ford are going to have to do it on their own. They can't bring pressure and different types of looks very often during the game. Brady's and Brees – in fact, a lot of quarterbacks' numbers against the blitz are really good. In particular, Brady and Brees are elite when you bring the blitz because they can read it and they throw quickly and get it out of their hands.
Right. You guys are talking about Brady's saying they're the underdog and this. I don't think – he was actually talking about, you know, the betting line. I think Brady and his camp, like, despite what the players say, they listen to the radio. They listen to the pundits. They get insight on what people are saying about them. So I think that he was talking about that, you know, everyone writing them off this, that, and third. So,
but they're not. That's what I'm saying. People say things. But, yeah, a couple of people pick the Chargers. So he's like, everybody's doubting us. No. Vegas thinks you're going to win.
Right.
Most of us think you're going to win.
Right.
It's just people thought the Chargers were good too.
Right. On the DFS, the guy that I'm feeding this week, well, two guys I'm actually feeding this week. I'm feeding the Chiefs running backs, and I'm feeding Jared Goff. Jared Goff, obviously. If these guys go off, I'll just suck it up and
yep.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm I'm fading those guys. I'm as far as the DFS. I'm probably going to have maybe two lineups with Mahomes, two with Brady, and two with Breeze. And I'm just going to either stack one game and hopefully I hit with the players in the other game. Watkins is going to be a good play. I had him last week and he almost scored on that pitch.
Davis Maddock loves Sammy Watkins. Watkins thing this
loves
week.
Watkins.
He thinks he's a lock to
yeah.
have.
As far as Tyreek Hill, I'm gonna have maybe two lineups at home, but I think that the Belichick are gonna try to keep him out the game, and of course Kelsey is gonna be a baller. And I'll throw a little bit of Kelsey and Gronk on the lineup. I want a lineup or two. Of course, I love Teddy Ginn. Hopefully, Reed got his arm back. He can throw that ball down the field. And
Marcus Peters is the kind of cornerback that wants to jump a route. You know, Marcus Peters gambles.
Right.
I'm talking, we're going to see double moves out of Ted Ginn all day long.
I don't think his arm's coming back, though, guys. I just don't think his arm is coming back.
You got to figure, though, Talib is going to be on Michael Thomas. Right, so maybe it's not a 40-yard nine route. Maybe it's not a stop and go. But I could see a post corner, you know, something like that blew it. I really think Ginn is going to get a big play.
And if you want to play somebody different, don't play Tre'Quan Smith because he's I don't know why he's more than Kirkwood, but
it's
I actually had Kirkwood last week. Yeah. Play Kirkwood. He got a little banged up, but I actually had him last week, and I was glad he got in the end zone. So
just
I cast
saying,
out pretty good.
Kenny, last,
hey, man,
last thing
shout
before
out
you
to
go,
the Saints, man.
Yeah, shout out
yeah,
to the
yeah,
Saints.
Man, I'm
last thing.
I'm just
Goff did go for 391 and three touchdowns last time they played.
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah,
give
I
us
know.
A call
I hope
next
not.
Week, all right. Give us a call next week.
I got
hopefully
you.
Your Saints are in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Please.
I got you. I appreciate y'all giving me the time, fellas.
Okay.
Have a good
all
one.
Anytime,
all
right, Kenny man. You have a good one.
Yeah, I mean 391 and three touchdowns. It's not like Goff ain't laying an egg
not
this
bad.
Weekend. You know, I mean yeah, the I Saints defense is better, but now they got Rankins is hurt, so. There's a lot going on in this game.
Hey,
look,
let me ask you this.
I think right now, I'm just telling you, I think the value is with the underdogs.
Hmm.
That's all I'm saying. Probably money lines.
Yeah, because all four
spreads
of these
are a little sharp.
Are valid chances to win.
Yeah.
Like any one of these four teams can win the Super Bowl. So, yeah, give me some points. Give me a field goal, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, to go back to it, so money line on the Rams plus 154, money line on the Pats 136. So, there you go. You know, the Saints are
question
obviously the heaviest
Blewett.
Favorite. Go ahead.
Kenny mentioned this idea that he's fading Damian Williams. We're getting practice reports. You know, Spencer Ware is back practicing, albeit in a limited fashion. Do you think Ware is up on Sunday, and then does that eat into the touches for Damian Williams?
I think he's just there to give him rest, honestly.
Okay.
I think if Spencer Ware, he'll touch the ball five or six times, and I don't think that is cannibalizing Damian Williams touches.
Okay.
I think he gets the touches he's going to get. You know, if it shortened it by one or two touches, I can't be that concerned that this is a timeshare. There's no reason for them to do that at this point. To, you know, could Spencer Ware vulture a touchdown? Yeah, maybe. But I don't. It's not a concern for me. It's whether or not Damian Williams is effective is a different question altogether. I just don't think that he's the guy. Spencer Ware is the guy that's going to steal touches from him in any significant way.
All right. I'm just saying, like, could he, Damian Williams, could he go from, you know, 95% of the carries to 70% of the carries? And if so, just like, you know, just in the calculus on if he's a good value on DFS, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think he's not as good a value as he was, that's for sure. But it's still, it doesn't concern me that much. I'm going to dive in more into DFS a little bit today, put together some lineups for us for tomorrow so we can kind of go through it. I had a really hard time last week. I just couldn't get it right. I couldn't get it the way I wanted. I knew the players I liked, and I ended up not using a couple of them. I really liked Mike Thomas and Kelsey and Damian Williams and Edelman. And my mistake was, like, locking in Mahomes at QB. I probably could have fit all those other guys, but I locked in Mahomes at QB, and it created me having to put Josh Reynolds and Nyheim Hines in there and taking Mike Thomas
Nyheim
out.
Nyheim Hines.
Yeah, Mr. 2.3 points in two games. So, all right, how about some player props real quick? We only got a couple of minutes. Player props for the Rams-Saints game. Alvin Kamara, let's do combo yards for Alvin Kamara, 102.5. Over under.
Scrimmage yards?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the over on this one. I think Alvin Kamara is going to be featured in the passing game in this one. We know about Talib and Peters. We know about their line, their D-line. The linebacker level is where to attack, right? And I think Kamara out of the backfield will have a big game. One screen pass could go 45 yards.
Todd Gurley, 99.5, so he's just got to get to 100.
I'm worried about C.J. Anderson. I don't know. I would stay away from that.
Okay. Jared Goff, pass attempts, 36.5. He had 40 last time they played.
Attempts?
Yep.
Over. I think he's going to put the ball up 40 times in the dome.
They may lose if that happens.
They may.
Drew Brees, the exact same number, 36.5. Last time they played, 36 pass attempts. 25 of 36 for 346 and 4 touchdowns. Come on. Yeah. What's up, Rams?
That works.
What's up with the defense?
I remember that game. I was in the sports book in Atlantic City. That was a huge game, Rams.
For the record, Kamara had 82 rushing yards last time out with 34 receiving yards. Gurley had 68 rushing yards and only 11 receiving yards. So that was like one of
the last time the Chiefs played the Pats, how many yards did James Devlin have? That's the real question.
Looking at it right now. I'll give you, this is a perfect way to end this show. James Devlin, 2 touches for 3 yards, all receiving, no carries. Kenyon Barner was getting touches back then. No touchdowns.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
All right, we're coming back tomorrow with a Football Friday. It's Dane and Mike for FSD. We're out.